like at the moment, it just happened. And when you look back, like it's now 4 years, then you realize how big it was and how big it is.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Chump Chat. We have a very special guest today, the Viking Arnór Sigurðsson, Icelandic international baller. But before we get into the conversation, I want to make sure that y'all like, share, and subscribe. If y'all are enjoying, obviously, leave a comment or follow us on the gram. But Sigurð, bro, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good, bro. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, bro. Thanks for taking the time. Obviously, me and Sigurð are teammates, so you know, we get along nicely. We're in the gym all the time working. I know Sigurd's taking it very seriously this time of year. You know, end of the season, really want to get fit and stuff. You know what I mean, Sigurd? Really want to push. But I think I want to start off things. Obviously, the topic of the world right now is, you know, Russia and Ukraine. And for the guests that don't know, Sigurd is on loan to Venezia, and he plays for the team in Moscow. I don't know how to pronounce the team, so Sigurd, it's on you.
Yeah, it's CSK Moscow.
Okay, CSK Moscow. And Sigurd plays for them, so obviously he knows the inside a little bit on Russia and Ukraine. But I guess I'll start it off quickly with just like, how is the league in Russia doing? Like, they're still playing, everything's normal for the players?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's normal, but they are still playing, yeah. The league is ongoing and they are playing every week, so... but it's far away from normal for them.
Right. Yeah, you were telling me a little bit about, you know, players, depending on what happens, they may be free agents or different things. Could you tell me more about this?
Yeah, so FIFA decided that players that are playing in Russia, the foreigners, they could terminate their contract until the June 30. So, for example, if I was playing there, I could use that and sign for another club until 30 of June.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, we talked about the Russian currency, huh? So your contract, obviously, in euros, secured, but other players may have their contracts in what is it, ruples?
Rubles.
So obviously, this currency is being destroyed. Like, it's the value of it is worth nothing now. How is that? Has that affected any of your close friends or family that are Russian?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them had money in the bank, and when you have money in bank in Russia, it's obviously in rubles. So when this happens, it goes 50% down. I think it's 50% now down. So it's not an ideal situation for the people and my friends. They're my teammates. They are, yeah.
It's tough, huh? It's tough to see. Like, I don't know. You obviously, you like living in Moscow, right? Like, it was a good experience, and obviously, yeah, you would go back and live there and play there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have two more years there, so I guess now I go back there.
What do you think the future holds for you with Moscow? Obviously, you said you have two more years. But obviously the situation, and we don't know what's going to happen, but what do you think will happen for you?
No, I think I'll just have to see how things are going in the summer. It's not ideal to go back there. Obviously, I'm not excited to go back when the situation is like that. And I know that a lot of foreign players, not in our team, but in other teams, are using this thing we were talking about earlier, the contracts. So they are leaving Russia, and they will just see how the situation is in the summer. And I guess I'm one of them.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy to think that, like, the team you play for, same situation as one of the other players, Ethan and Badu, like, everything is affecting it so critically, you know, and it's, it could be life changing, and it could be good or bad, you know. Opportunities could open if you're a free agent, but obviously things could go bad if you know, you go back and then they shut the league down or what could happen, you know. It's kind of scary, no?
Yeah, it is, obviously. And what hurts me the most is seeing this happens to people that don't deserve it. Like, these people didn't do anything. They were just doing their job, and this is affecting them so much.
How would you say like traveling into the country is as of right now? Like, how is that process? I know you probably haven't traveled into Russia, but do you know of anyone who has or anything like that?
I think it's almost impossible to travel into Russia now. You need probably so many papers and some approvals and everything from the government. Because it was tough before, like even before this, it was like you need a special visa and everything to go into Russia. I know that for a fact that it's almost impossible to get out of Russia as well now. They are just flying to certain countries at the moment. So I know that for a fact that a lot of players got really scared about that they would be stuck in Russia. So they wanted to get out as soon as possible before the situation got even worse.
Yeah, I can imagine. You keep bringing up being a foreign player, and whether that was in Russia, you were foreign because you're Icelandic, or even now at Venezia, you're still a foreign player. I think Tanner was telling me that you've been injured, you're coming off injury. I don't know if you've dealt with injury before, but you know, we've spoken about it on other episodes. It's extremely difficult being a foreign player away from your family and having to deal with injuries. How's that been for you, and how's the process of coming back been?
The process has been good. I think what's the most important thing when you're a foreign player is to have a good people around you. And I'm really, I connect to a lot of players in the team, and we are good friends. We're making some good relationship. And that is so important when you have tough times like injuries, when you're not able to do what you want to do, what you love to do. Then the most important part is how you feel off the pitch. And if you have good friends and good teammates, it helps a lot.
Thanks, Sigurd. Yeah. I think we're good friends as well.
another thing that that can help footballers to get their mind off of the sport, obviously you see me and Tan doing the podcast. Do you have anything that you do in your free time? Obviously some people make music, obviously you read, I don't know. Do you have anything that you do in your free time?
I play guitar. So I like doing that in my free time. I also like just playing computer games with friends. I read sometimes, yeah, but I'm not writing music. Maybe I will. I don't know.
Have you sang to Tanner yet or no?
I'll tell you what, we get it. Man, we get into the gym, right? And Sigu has been our designated DJ for the past like 2 weeks, right? So Sigu is on aux and he's chopping it up. And we always ask for the Icelandic songs. Because the Icelandic language, bro, I'm sure you've never heard it, John, unless you've played with a player from Iceland, but this language is like gibberish, bro. Like, it's nothing, it's not even letters. Like, this thing is crazy, but they get it on and it sounds good, bro. It actually sounds good in music because they speak very little and it's mainly just the instrumental, but it's good, bro. And speak some Icelandic for us, please.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to say, what's up, guys? My name is Arnór Sigurðsson, and I'm on Chum Chat.
Sælir strákar, hvað segi ég? Ég heiti Arnór Sigurðsson, og ég á Chum Chat.
That sounds dope. That sounds dope, to be honest. I mean,
it's clean, bro.
Talking about being Icelandic, though, I want to ask you, obviously, you've been part of the youth national teams in Iceland. Obviously, you know, you're a promising player, you're a promising prospect. I'm sure you witnessed the 2016 Icelandic run in the Euros to the quarterfinals. That was iconic. Obviously, the Viking clap. How did that grow the sport in the country, or like the following of the sport? Because us as Americans, obviously, the sport is barely growing. So maybe we hope for something like that here.
Yeah, it was massive. I mean, I was 17 at the time, and I wasn't even a professional yet. I became professional the next year. The year after, but yeah, it was massive, and just for the country and for the football, like, people started watching this Icelandic national team because it was like, we're such a small country and we're so, like, we are 330,000, and for a country to achieve something like that is just, yeah, you know, it's unbelievable. And the attention we got, also the players, I think it helped us grow as a national team and as a country as well.
Yeah, it's crazy how something like that can bring a country together, especially in whatever time your country was in. But we were talking about it before before our last game, but obviously playing for Iceland, it's difficult to qualify for the World Cup, but it's very difficult to win a World Cup. So obviously you play for Iceland. Is it not like kind of a scary feeling that you may never play in a World Cup because of the country you play for?
I think if you would have asked me this question 2015, I would have said, yeah, it's scary. Like every player dreams about playing on World Cup and on the Euros. But we were at Euros 2016, and then we reached the World Cup 2018. So it's absolutely not impossible. And that gave us, the younger players that were coming up at the time, like we could see that it's impossible. No, it is possible. And so for me, because I wasn't there at the World Cup, I really want to achieve something like that. And I know I saw the players before do it. So the squad is quite young now. And I'm positive we will be there again.
I want to ask you, was there any chance, because I saw that you started playing for the first team of Iceland in 2018, but was there any possibility of you going to the World Cup, or was it never a possibility?
So 2018 was a crazy year for me. I started in Sweden, not even as a starting 11 player. I was 18, turning 19 at the time. And it all happened really fast. I started getting some matches and I performed really good. And I played there, I think, three, four months. And then I got sold to Moscow. But the World Cup was in the summer, so I was still playing in Sweden. And I was still young and I was just upcoming. So when the World Cup squad was out, I wasn't expecting to be in it. But looking back, I wanted maybe everything to happen a bit earlier with Moscow and everything, because it was talks ongoing before World Cup. So I think that even if I signed for CSKA before World Cup, the chance would have been bigger being there.
That's let me ask how that you. Works.
Yeah, let me ask you this. So now you're talking about the success of the Iceland national team 2016, 2018. It's 2022. Obviously, you guys didn't make the World Cup this year, but do you think the fans from Iceland, they expect a lot more from you guys now, especially a young player like you who plays at a big team like Venezia, for you guys to qualify for the Euros, to qualify for the World Cup? Do you think there's an expectation there now that wasn't there before?
Yeah, absolutely. Because like they saw that we could do it, and then they believe we can do it again, and they want us to do it again. Because like we said, this is just bringing the country together. I think around 90% of the country watches when the national team is playing Euros or World Cup. So it's huge, and people love football there, so they expect a lot from us as well.
That's beautiful. 90% of the country watching your team play.
I think for real, 90 or 92% was watching the first World Cup game against Argentina.
Wow. This is amazing. Wow, this is some stats.
Well, talk about pressure. You're talking about pressure from the Iceland fans. Now let's transition to Venezia. Obviously, you've been dealing with some injuries. So you haven't been on the pitch as much, but you've witnessed what these guys are going through. Obviously, a tough run of matches lately for you guys. You see the relegation zone now. The season's ending. You know, is there a kind of pressure now that you're feeling to help the team stay up?
Yeah, but I think the pressure is good. Because the pressure is pushing us together, and we have to stick together. And when we have pressure, the matches become more important. And when you have more important matches, you prepare yourself. Like it's always this extra thing, what the preparation, the mindset, and everything. When the game is important, you want to make sure you're there. You want to perform. So obviously, it's not a situation we want to be in. We want to be higher on the table, but it is what it is, and we have to fight for this, because now every single game is really important.
It's a good answer. Now let me ask you a difficult question, and if your answer isn't good, we can cut it out, okay? But obviously you're a lone player. Obviously you're a lone player to Venezia. Some people would say maybe that a lone player won't care as much about you guys getting relegated, because at the end of the day you can go back, you know, if you get relegated. Is that true, or do you care just as much as these Tanner, as Busio, as the guys who are full-time signed to Venezia?
I think when you connect to the team like that, when you connect to the players because they are my real friends. And obviously I'm a part of the team too. And I've been now for 8 months. It's easy to say that it's not there because I won't be here next year. So I'm not thinking about that we could be playing Serie B or we could be doing that. So I think they are maybe more thinking about the consequences while I'm more thinking about, like, get the job done, like, stay up, boys. But at the end, I think it matters just as much to me as it does to them.
Good answer.
Oh, yeah. I think it does as well. I mean, you can see we have a lot of players on loan this year, and you can see, I mean, Sigurd could back me here, but the players that are on loan are when we lose a game or when a difficult moment happens, they're there just as much as us, and they feel the pain just as much as us, and they want it just as bad as us. So I think everyone can relate to the we are one team, and it brings us closer together, and everyone's fighting for the same goal no matter what team you play for next year or what happens if we go down or if we stay up. It's the same mentality all around. So
yeah, absolutely.
Tanner was Tanner wanted me to ask you this. Obviously, Tanner comes from MLS. Busio comes from MLS. You're a European guy. You're a young European guy. If an MLS team comes calling right now, what's your answer? Like, what's your view on MLS as a European?
I think the MLS is getting bigger. And it's like, I think 2, 3, 4 years ago, it was more like for older guys to go there, like close to retirement. Maybe big players, big names. But I think now it's getting better and the league is getting more attention, especially from Europe. And actually, two of my friends are now playing in the MLS. One is playing from New England. Trostason, same name, Arnold Trostason. I don't know if you know him, but he was playing there last year. And I spoke to him when we were playing national team together and he really likes it there. But if I'm honest, for me now at this stage of my career, if some MLS team calls me, I think I wouldn't go there now. But for sure, later on my career, yeah, it could be possible.
What if they come with a lot of money, more than you're making now?
Nah, I don't think so. I think I want to prove myself more in Europe. I want to play in the big leagues and prove myself here first. And then, yeah.
So is that the main driving force, like that Europe is the best, so you want to play against the best and try to win these trophies that you dreamed about? Is that like the driving force to stay in Europe?
Yeah, it is. And obviously I played Champions League and I played Europa League and I know what it is. I know what it is to play on the biggest stage and playing against the biggest teams. And that's where you want to be. Yeah, playing these top games. Top leagues.
Let's just flash up the goal versus Real Madrid there and then the assist as well. Thanks, Anthony, our editor.
Yeah, how is that? Because Tanner told me you scored versus Real Madrid. That's in the Bernabeu. That's insane. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, obviously. Who was in that team? Do you recognize that? Do you remember any of the players that were in that team that are still there now? Or any big players?
Yeah, a lot of them were there. Luka Modric, Karim Benzema, Toni Kroos, Sergio Ramos. Courtois, they Ronaldo just left this season, which was quite sad, but still he was playing at the stadium and scoring. Yeah, I think it's just unreal, and I don't think, like, at the moment it just happened, and when you look back, like, it's now 4 years, then you realize how big it was and how big it is.
Yeah, when you're scoring against Madrid at like 20 years of age or however old you were, I mean, I don't think you want to go back to the MLS just yet. But did you ask for anyone's jersey after the game?
Yeah, I got a Toni Kroos jersey after the game.
Nice. And who else did you get?
Marco Asensio.
Asensio,
so we played twice. We beat them twice. And yeah, I got two jerseys.
Very nice. Top players in the world. Obviously, I know that's a crazy experience. And we talked about it a little bit, that you feel that taste of Champions League, Europa League, or cup game final, whatever it is, and you don't want to play anything else. You know, you're hungry for those games, you're hungry for those matches, and it's not on the forefront of your mind, but it's always in the back of your mind that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be playing every year at the highest level, playing against the best teams in each country. to win the best trophy. So I know you're hungry for that. We're all hungry for that. But you've had a taste, and I think that drives you a little bit more to know what it is to have that feeling and to be hungry for it. So it's very interesting to be in a position you are now and see where Moscow is. And, you know, they could be Champions League next year. They're, you said they're in second place this year. So
yeah, they're doing really good now.
How it is. Yeah.
Let me ask you something, Arnor. Obviously, you might not be at Venezia next year in the coming years, but with Tanner Tessman there, Gianluca Busio there, can Venezia make it to Champions League?
Next year.
Not next year. In these coming years, can they lead them? If they're in the midfield, can they lead Venezia to a Champions League spot?
Yeah, absolutely. They are two top players, and I think with the right players around them and with because I like where this club is heading. I like they're thinking about everything, the owner and what's going on. So I think with Tanner Tasman and Busio, yeah, for sure, they can do some great things.
I love that. I love that. I think we gotta, you know, keep improving and maybe improve in one or two areas on and off the field. But I could see it. I could see it for sure. But it all starts this year on how we finish. But
yeah.
We have our signature question here, Sigu, and our motto, our life, our what the podcast is based around. And I'm expecting a good answer out of you. So far, you've been really good, solid. The fans have definitely enjoyed listening. If you're still listening, thank you for being here. But I want you to really think about this and really answer it strong. So I want you to hit it with a John.
All right, bro. So our signature question, we ask everyone at top athletes like yourself. What is your definition of success, and do you think you've achieved it yet?
Okay, yeah, it's a good question. I think success is when you reach something that you dreamt of, like when you were a kid and you dreamt about being a professional, and when you reach that, it's a success, you know. But then you have to think about what's your next goal. And if you ask me if I've reached it yet, like I haven't achieved anything yet, you know what I mean? Obviously I've been successful. Yeah. I think I've reached some success by playing at the highest level of football at a young age. But I think it's more about like that you have your goals and you take it step by step. Like once you're a professional football player, yeah, it's a huge step. But then you have to like, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. So you have to always like push you higher. And I think being successful, yeah, it's basically that, like receive your goals. And once you receive a big goal, just aim for the next one.
Interesting. So you think it's a never ending thing. You just, you know, you're always hungry for more. Do you think there's a place in your life where you'll be content? Like you won't be hungry for more.
No, I hope not. I mean, I'm always hungry for more. And like we talked about, being in this, being that lucky to be a professional football player and to live your dream, I think that's what it's all about. And while I'm hungry and while I love playing football, the day I don't want to go out and play football, this is the day I retire. So I think it's just about that. It's just about enjoying what you're doing and enjoy the moment, basically.
So
it's a good straightforward answer. And so just the last question for me, bro. You've been a fantastic guest. Thank you for being on. But and if you're still watching, make sure to subscribe. But anyways, you talked about goals, succeeding with your goals. What are your goals for this upcoming year, for the next 2, 3, 4 years? Or where do you see yourself?
The main goal now is stay in Serie A for sure. It's a weird situation now for me, obviously being with the Moscow and not knowing what the summer and how it will be the next couple of months. So I think I'm really, really focused on this this season. And then after, I have to sit down and see what will happen. And then I have to create some new goals. But like we said, playing in the top leagues, playing at the top level, that's the main goal. So, yeah.
Solid. Do you have any goals for the national team?
Yeah, be a key player there. I played 20 matches already. And the goal is for sure just getting this, become a key player there, and hopefully help the team to reach some big tournaments.
Do you think you can ever be the captain for Iceland?
I mean, I hope so. I was lucky enough to be one of the young guys that came up and played with the players that were at the Euros and World Cup. Most of them are now retired and or turning like late career. So I think I can hopefully use what I learned for them and bring it to even younger players. Still, I'm young, but I have a lot of experience. So yeah, hopefully I can, and it will be an honor.
We love that. Well, it's been Sigur, Arnór Sigurðsson, the true Viking, the different beast. I hope you enjoyed listening. He's had some great answers, some great insight on what it's like to be a player in Serie A, but also a player on loan in Serie A from a team in Moscow and the situation going on there. And also as an international footballer that's going to reach high levels. But we appreciate having you on, but we have one last question we ask all of our guests as well. And it's who do you want to see next on Chum Chat?
I would love to see our teammate and great friend Ethan Ampadu come on the podcast.
Okay, we love that. We'll have to put some pressure on him. This will air out. It might be good exposure, you know, Chelsea in a difficult moment. Yeah. You might have
what's
some
going on there.
Yeah, could be some exposure for him. You never know. But no, man, we appreciate having you on. I know, you know, it took
yeah,
the time out of your
man.
Day.
Yeah,
it's good to meet you, brother. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick outro. Is there anything else you want to say for the fans or any advice you want to give, anything like that?
No, I think it was pretty clear and we had a good chat.
All right, perfect. I'm going to go ahead and sign us off. So Anthony would have had your Instagram popped up throughout the video. So if you guys like Arnór and want to follow him and his success, go make sure and show him love on Instagram. Maybe listen now for him on Spotify with his guitar playing. Be attentive to him moving back to Moscow. Hopefully everything works out there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And like we always say, go find your own success. Deuces.